chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. While you're turning there, I'll open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the time we've had around your songs this morning, Lord, the good times, the Lord, I just ask you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just to bind the devil off the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, touch the minds and hearts of your individuals that you own, that you bought with a price this morning. God, if there be one here this morning that don't know you, I pray, God, today will be the day of their salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the ones who have been saved, Lord, that we're going to get to baptize this morning. Lord, what an honor it is for those young ladies and that young man. Lord, we love their families. And Lord, I'm so thankful that they're following in obedience to you, Lord, not for salvation, but because they're saved. Lord, I just ask you now, Lord, to just touch the minds and hearts of each and every family member here just this morning, Lord, as we talk about a family seeking righteousness. God, I pray, God, that that'll be the prayer of each and every family here when they leave, God, that they'll realize, Lord, that they do need to be seeking after righteousness and that each and every one of us have an important role to play according to you. And I pray, God, that no one will be offended over the role that you've given them. I pray, God, they'll be thankful for the roles that you've given them in their family structure. Lord, we know you orchestrated a perfect family. And Lord, if we'll just go by your recipe, Lord, we'll surely have success. And I pray, God, now that you'll just bind the devil off of each and every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice this morning. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit this morning. Bless the junior church and the nursery, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. This morning I want to talk about a righteous-filled family. I think it's very important in the time and era that we live that, you know, the family structure is not what God intended it to be anymore. Would everyone agree with that? You know, what we're seeing around us is, you know, and I'm not bashing you or bashing anyone. Listen, my daddy, he's been married and divorced, I think, 4 times. I think he's in his 5th marriage right now, and it's no good. It's falling apart. But can I say that God has given us some ways and some sources that can help us become a family that can be seeking after God's righteousness. But with that said, I want you to understand this morning that, you know, God put a family structure together. How many know it's a man and a wife? And I'm talking about male and female created he them. There's no other. Is everybody all right? Look, if you don't agree with me, you can be wrong. That's okay. But there's male and there's what? Female. And God intended a man to marry a woman. And God intended a woman to marry a man and to bear fruit and have children. And how can we be fruitful and multiply if we're not marrying who God intended us to marry? Amen. Listen, you say, thank God he's not preaching on me. Oh, but I am. See, I don't know of anybody that didn't marry a man or woman in here today. Thank God. You're all okay. But here's the reality. God gave the husband some rules. Amen. God gave the wife some rules. And God gave the children some rules. And where we've went wrong, what I see in our country today is everybody's out of order in the home. Here's what's happened. God should be at the head of your home. Amen. Then the husband. Is everybody okay? Then the wife. And then the what? Well, see, here's what's really happened. God has gone back there in the back room somewhere in the closet in your storage place, not even thought about. The children really dictate what happens in the home. They do. Because if they're not happy, nobody's happy. When here's what should be happening. God should be the head of the home. Daddy, whether you like it or not, you're going to answer for your wife. You're going to answer for your children. And wives, likewise, you're going to answer for your position that God gave you, whether you submit to God. And likewise, if you submit to God, you'll have no problem submitting to your husband. Y'all all right? I'm not picking on you. This isn't me. If I'm offending you, you're mad at God this morning. But I want to help us understand that God has orchestrated a family, and he's given us some very simple rules to follow. Amen? And if we'll follow them, we'll be a family seeking after righteousness. Now, with that said, no, I don't have a perfect family. Okay, we all have problems in our lives. But here's the reality. When we start getting out of God's plan for our families, when we start messing up. And you notice the more you try to do it your way, the more it doesn't work. But when we get back to God's way and how he orchestrated things, folks, God created the family to be a very beautiful thing. Amen? He did. So, what are we saying this morning? Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. We've been going down through these Beatitudes. Well, I want to read verse number 6 this morning. And springboard, if you'll give me some freedom. We may go a little past the hour this morning, but I promise you, I want to help you this morning. The Bible says in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what, church? For they shall be filled. Now, how many would say, I would love for my family to be spirit-filled? Okay, well, let me help you out this morning. What are you hungering and thirsting for this morning? The Bible teaches that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. What is righteousness? Well, it's the quality of being morally right or justifiable. I wonder how many things you allow in your home. Let's just start here. How many things we allow in our home, don't raise your hands, but think of them in your mind. How many things you allow in your home that are just not morally right? Say, what are you talking about, Brother Drew? I'm thinking, how many people would agree that abortion's wrong? How many people would agree that same-sex marriage is wrong? How many of you watch TV shows with same-sex marriage? Then you're for it. Y'all okay? You can't be against it if you're for it. And if you're against it, you won't watch it. Y'all okay what I'm saying here? How many think that you ought to watch your mouth and not have a filthy mouth and use the Lord's name in vain? Raise your hands. I don't think we should do that. How many of you watch the TV shows and listen to the music that allows it? Then you're for it. See what I'm saying? God said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, that's what's wrong with the home. Outwardly, see, here's the reality. You and I can see the outward appearance. But God looks on the what? The Bible says, man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Don't tell me you're against same-sex marriage and homosexuality and abortion and all this filth that we're dealing with in America today. And there's so much more, by the way. I'm just using those as examples because they're big ones. Don't tell me you're against it if you watch it on your TV with your family. Oh, Brother Drew, we're not for that. It's just part of it. Do you realize they are implementing that into everything you try to watch now? I mean everything. Everything. You know, it's just like the NFL a few years ago. I quit watching the NFL for 2 years. You know why I quit watching the NFL? Because I'm a patriot. And I believe in standing when our national anthem's being played. Oh, come on, Brother Drew. You're not serious. That's taking it over. No, it's not taking it over the edge. I'm not going to stand and watch an idiot who doesn't deserve to even be in America. He's ungrateful. He was raised and adopted by a good family that he bashes every single day. I'm not supporting him. He can move to Saudi Arabia for all I care. He don't deserve to live in America. Y'all okay with me? Hey, listen, I'm just telling you the truth. If you're for it, you'll support it. And if you're against it, you won't. So with that said, what are some things that you allow in your home that are just morally not right and that you justify because it appeals to your flesh? So a good Bible definition for righteousness would be living in a right relationship with God. And can I say this? You're not living in a right relationship with God watching that stuff on your TV. Brother Drew, it's just TV. No, it's not. If it's just TV, why can't you stop? Brother Drew, it's just music. Then why can't you stop listening to it? Because it has a stronghold in your mind. You're addicted to something that you should not be addicted to. It's just like alcohol, tobacco, anything else. It ain't good for you, right? It's going to hurt us eventually. But you're addicted to it. And you love it more than you love God, because if you didn't, you'd stop. You'd realize that God is enough to allow you to stop doing that stuff. That sin that so easily besets you has been paid for, pierced, nailed to a cross. You're dead to that sin, is what the Bible says. But, oh, it's just those little things, Brother Drew. Well, I wonder if we are actually hungering and thirsting after righteousness this morning. The book of Isaiah 33 and verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Hey, what are your eyes looking upon? Are you constantly seeking after evil? Or are you like Job, a perfect and upright man? One that feared God and eschewed evil. You know what that means? It means he hated it. He ran from it. Why? Because he loved his God more than he loved sin. Folks, we're never going to be righteous families if we're allowing immoral things in our home. We've got to understand, if it was wrong for your children to watch it, it was probably wrong for you to watch it. Folks, if it's like, you know, you see these movies sometimes where they'll have alcohol scenes in them, and sometimes the kids will come up and the kids will try to sneak a drink, and mom and dad, but don't do that, you're not old enough. Hey, where biblically are you old enough to drink that stuff? My Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So you know what that means? You shouldn't be drinking. Y'all all right? Everybody okay? I hope I'm not offending you. If I am, I'm sorry. But that's Bible. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you shall suffer persecution. We live in a day and age where people just do not like right. And let me tell you this. If you're doing right, people are going to say things to you. They're going to ask you, why do you have so many standards? Why do you take so many things out of your life? You know, I could probably go around the room and ask every single one of you, hey, what are some things that you used to struggle with? Brother Blake asked the question on Friday night. What are some things that you had to refrain from when you really wanted to get serious about serving God? And we ran around the table and there were so many different answers. Everybody had different things. And every one of you would have to say, hey, there are some things, yes, that I constantly have to say no to, that other people question you, hey, why are you such a Jesus freak? Why do you care so much about being right? Because God tells me I should be seeking after righteousness. Right. Right. Man to marry a man. It's right to identify as you want to identify as. Hey, that's what the world will tell you. Y'all know that? All right, wrong. They call wrong. Right. You know what they are? They're spiritually discerned. Why on earth would you, as a Christian, a blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, get on board with any of that filth? Because you're not seeking after righteousness. You've fallen into the devil's trap. You know you're going to heaven because you're saved by grace through faith. What else does God want? Well, he wants you to seek after righteousness. He wants to allow you. He wants to bless you. Do you know that God wants to bless you? You are literally stopping the hand of God pouring out blessings on your life by not seeking after righteousness. He wants to show you just how good he really is, Brother Travis. And all along, we're just seeking after the world. But God, if I seek you, I'm going to make them mad. Hey, you ever thought about making God angry? What about a spirit-filled family? Can I say this? We must learn to not worry about and defend what the world calls right. We've got to understand that we have a Bible that is always right. Amen? The King James Bible, it's always right. You're never going to prove it wrong. They've tried for years. It isn't going to work. It's going to stand the test of time. Amen? It is. And not just any Bible. the King James Bible. If you're confused about that, come talk to me later. And we must learn to stand strong against the wiles of the devil. So are we really seeking righteousness as a family? Can I say this? There's three things I want to go over this morning as a family. Can I say this? That it is still good that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, go with me to the book of Ephesians this morning. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. I believe if we'll take a hold of this that God's given us this morning, that our families will be better off. Our marriages will be better off. It might not seem like it at first, but when everyone gets in their place and does what God asked them to do and stop trying to play the role that you're not supposed to play, from the children to the mom to the dad, play your role. Just do what God told you to do. Your family structure will get better. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. Let's see what God said to the husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 33. The Bible says, husbands, love your what, church? Now, first off, it said husbands, love your wives. Now, you know, we live in a day and age where divorce is rampant. Now, why else would Paul be writing this? Because there's some sin going on. You know, husbands, listen. The only woman you need to worry about making happy is your wife. No other woman matters. Hello? I'm not saying that to be, you know, facetious. I'm serious. At the end of the night, guess who you got to go lay down by if she allows you to? Her. Guess who's going to wake up next to you in the morning if God blesses you with it? Her. Guess who's going to have your children? Her. Hey, you better worry about loving her and stop worrying about other women in your life. I'm talking about the women at work that flirt with you, the women out at the ball field that make you smile. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's women everywhere. Listen, you can have a rough time at home and the devil will scoop in and make somebody else make you smile, make you laugh, and all of a sudden you'll be trying to please the wrong woman. Hey, happens every day. Every day. Listen, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be made holy, or it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and what, church? Now again, listen, young men that are newly married in the last 10 years, you know, something that a lot of guys struggle with is they can't seem to get off of, you know, mama's shoulder. When you marry your wife, listen, it doesn't matter what mom thinks anymore. You want a quick way to the doghouse? Run to your mama. Because guess what? She don't really care what your mom thinks. You understand what I'm saying, guys? Leave and cleave. And all God's men said, amen. Listen, we're not going to get into that. This ain't a marriage conference. Leave and cleave. And shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ, the church, and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So can I say, you know, the world's not going to tell us that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. You say, how much love was that? Well, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. So let me ask you this morning, sir, how much do you love your wife? Do you love her enough to die for? I'm talking about in the arguing times, when she's mad at you and she's ignoring you and she's getting on your last nerve, do you still love her enough to die for? Is she the most important woman in your life? Because if she's not, your home's out of order. When your wife calls, answer the phone. Don't matter who you're talking to. No one's more important. Amen? And we're all guilty of that. But she calls all the time because you never answer. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, she needs to be the most important human being in your life. Not your children. Hello? Not your children. Now, I know they're important. Preacher, how could you? Listen to me. You wouldn't have those children if it weren't for her. Y'all all right? I wonder how many men are actually thankful for their wives and love her enough to say, you know what? I could treat you a little bit better. Now, we're done picking on the husbands. We're going to pick on the wives now. Y'all ready? All God's men said? Amen. All right, here we go. I know where y'all sleeping tonight. All right, can I say, number two, it is still good for wives to submit themselves under their own husbands. Now, again, the Bible taught the husband to love his own wife. Now, the Bible teaches the wife to submit unto her own husband. But here's the deal. A lot of husbands like to take this verse and run with it. She needs to do what I say. Listen to me. If you are doing what God says, if you are running your home as unto the Lord, let me tell you a secret, fellas. She'll have no problem submitting to that. Okay? But it's when we get out of line and we put God back here and we start trying to say, she's going to do what I want her to do. No, she's not. Are you guys crazy? How many are married? Now, let me help you. You submit to God and she'll submit to you. Because here's how God wired them. God wired every single woman to be needed. And all God's men said, amen. Okay, listen. God wired them to have a spiritual leader in their home. They desire that. They want you to submit to God, love her as Christ loved the church. And listen, when she knows that you love her that much, why wouldn't she submit to you? But submit is not just, well, she don't do anything I say. Guys, that's not what it's all about. It's a spiritual submission. She's submitting to God, and therefore she's submitting to you. It does not change the fact that it's a biblical principle just because the world says, wives, you know, and look, whether we like it or not, I come from a town. Now, I hope we don't have any feminists in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about by feminist? I'm talking about women's marching for abortion. Oh, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I come from a town where they do that about once a month. 300 or 400 of them, lining the streets of Seward, dress in pink, dress whatever they want, really. Some of them don't even identify as women. And they just chant. Why? Because they're all about feminists rule the world. Can I say that God did not design that? Is everybody all right? I think I'm offending somebody here. I can feel it. But I'm sorry. You should be spiritual. Because God didn't design you to be that kind of lady. Okay? And no matter how the world tells you you ought to be as a woman, be the woman that you want to be. Listen, don't ever chase your heart. Look what God has in store for you. You know, whatever happened to a woman just wanting to be a mom? You know what I like? I like it when young ladies, when you talk to them, they say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, it's okay to want to have a good job, but you know what I like to hear? I want to marry a guy that's going to serve the Lord, and I just want to be a good mom. What's wrong with that? Can anybody tell me anything wrong with that? You know what I like? That none of my children have ever sat a day in daycare. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I'm saying I'm thankful that God has allowed me to have a wife that wanted to stay home and raise our children. Do you know that that's God's design? Y'all know that? That's okay. And understand, some of us, we have to work. I get that. I'm not saying you're bad if you don't. But listen, growing up, we're pushing everybody, do this, do this, do this, do this. Go get the biggest education you can get. Go, listen, train your ladies up to be ladies and servants unto the Lord. Hello? We get on power trips, and God never designed that to happen. God designed the man to take care of the family. Is everybody okay? I hope people come back next Sunday. If you don't, I'm sorry. But listen, God has a plan for us. Listen to this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:22, look with me there. Ephesians 4:22. The Bible says, where are we at here? 5:22, I'm sorry. 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the who? The Lord. So remember, ladies, listen, remember, you're really just submitting to God. And if you have a problem submitting to God, does the problem lie within your husband and your kids? The problem lies within your heart, because you've been taught different. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Listen, here's the reality. If your husband is serving the Lord and doing everything right and you just choose not to get on board life, listen, you're going to answer to God for that. And he's going to answer to God for you. Hello? It doesn't matter how you feel down here. One day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, you know what? You had a really good husband who tried to serve the Lord, who tried to do right, and you just wouldn't get on board. Shame on you. And he'll show you all the rewards that he had planned for your family and for you, and you lost them. And likewise, husbands, you know how many moms are bringing babies to church with no daddies? You know what I'm getting at this morning? We're failing miserably at this thing. Amen? We're all failing miserably at this thing. And we could all stand to be a little bit better. I'm sure some of you were thinking, how could you preach something like this? Well, the truth is, if we as husbands and wives would learn to get back to the biblical principle of marriage, the divorce would go down in America. Would it not? It would. The problem is we have so many men and women that are full of pride and are living all for themselves, not worried about how God intended for them to live in their marriages. I start living the way God wants you to live and start playing the part that God wants you to play in the marriage, not for him or her, but play the part because God expects you to play it. He would not have put this in the Bible if he did not want it there. It was not there by mistake. It wasn't. Be the husband that God wants you to be. And you'll be surprised who your wife turns out to be. Be the wife that God wants you to be. And you'll be surprised who your husband will turn out to be. And hey, remember, it's due benevolence no matter what. The disposition to do them good. You don't wait till they start playing their part for you to start playing your part. You start playing your part as a wife. You start playing your part as a husband. And listen, it'll all fall into place. It's God's plan. Somebody's got to step up. God orchestrated marriage, and he gave us guidelines for it. He told us exactly who we were supposed to be in our marriages. He knew exactly how it would work, how it would work perfectly. The problem is we're just not seeking after righteousness in our marriages. We're seeking after worldliness and gain, and we must turn back to God if we want to see our marriages work and last. And number three, if we've talked about the husband, and we've talked about the wife, who's left? Y'all tell me. Now, this is everybody's favorite part. This is mom and dad's favorite part. Everybody can sit up now and breathe. Exhale. It's okay. The hard part's over. And again, listen, I'm not downing anybody that goes to work every day and helps provide for your family. I'm thankful that God allows you to do that. But I'm just telling you what thus saith the Lord in the Bible and what God has allowed for me and my family. I know that's not for every family. And I'm not downing you for that. Please don't mistake that. Number three. Can I say it's still good for children to obey their parents? And all God's parents said? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It goes right out of talking from the husband and the wife. We're almost done. We're going to go a little over. But it says, children, obey who? Your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You ever notice how he makes it pretty personal? He says, obey your parents. So what does that mean, kids? How many kids we got in here? Raise your hands. Good. So if your mom and dad or grandma or grandpa, whoever you're with, says, do this, what should you do? Now, here's what bothers me, Brother Tim. If my friend, if my boys or somebody will go over and play at a friend's house, I'll say, how were they today? Expecting it to be like, this is probably a disaster. Probably never should have let them go. And they say, that's the best child that's ever been to my house. I'm like, either you're lying or we're not talking about the same kid. Because I know that one. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Like, why don't they listen to me like they listen to them? Well, there's some reasons why your children don't listen. Amen? Here they are. How will they learn to obey if we don't teach them? I remember when you were little that someone taught you to obey. And, you know, that teaching hurt a little bit, didn't it? And sometimes, you know, you get that spanking or whatever your parents call them. I'm going to talk about some of it's child abuse, I guess. Look, we're all still here. We made it. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't believe in child abuse. But something in this world has gotten away from child discipline. Does everybody believe that? Y'all ever go to Walmart? Yeah. How many teachers we got? Any school teachers in here? Look, would you school teachers say that children are worse today than they were when you were in school? Now, when you tell them, it's all, I've talked to teachers that are scared to even tell a kid what to do anymore. Because mom and dad's going to be up there defending the disobedient child when they should be up there spanking their butt. Amen? That's what they should be doing. But see, we've gotten away from God's plan. And so what is God's plan? Well, first of all, let me tell you this. I'm not for hurting any child, okay? I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't even spank my children like I got spanked. Because there's a prison somewhere waiting for me if I did. But listen, I am for child discipline. Are y'all okay? I am for letting them understand that, hey, that's wrong, brother. That's wrong, sister. And can I say this? God is for child discipline. And who did he leave in charge to make sure that that happened? Mom and dad. We're responsible again. So I'm not for child discipline. I'm not for beating any child, but I am for child discipline. I think it's very important that when our children do something wrong, they learn that there's a consequence. Amen? They need to know. It's too late when they're 18 and they're headed to prison, taking their first mugshot, and now you're squalling, I don't know what happened. Well, I should have listened to the preacher. I should have beat him. You're right. You should have spanked him. When he was a baby, all the way up, he should have been learning that lesson. And maybe the big decision that he made at age 18, and now he's walking away like this, and mom and dad are just sitting there, I don't know what happened. I can't believe it. Yes, you know exactly what happened. You failed them. Uh-oh. Getting tough again. Preacher, you mean today. No, I'm not mean. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to have you sitting in front of me someday saying, hey, little so-and-so got arrested last night. They got caught up in gang activity, drive-by shooting, attempted murder charges. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear little so-and-so last night decided he wanted to be a preacher. Little so-and-so last night decided she wanted to be a teacher. And she wanted to reinvest in children's lives the way that she was invested in. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's about time we have some good reports, amen, from our kids. So what does the Bible say about this? A few verses, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 29:17, if you're writing them down, the Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. How many parents would like more rest not worrying about your children? Correct them. It's a biblical principle. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know, probably a parent's biggest downfall, we all do what? Worry, right? How many parents don't worry about their kids in here? Look, you know, the Bible says if you correct them, that you'll have delight in your soul, in your mind, your emotion, and your will. I wonder how many would like to know that, man, I did the best I could. I corrected them. They know right from wrong. When they go out into this world, you can rest a little bit and just know. You don't have to worry, are they in this place? Are they in this place? Are they in this place? They got Life 360 for that now. You can know. Okay, for those of you who know what that is, you can track them wherever they want to go. But listen, you can rest from the biblical principle that, hey, I raised them upright. I corrected them when they did wrong. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What does that mean? That means every time you say, hey, don't do that, and they do it, and you say, don't do that, or I'm going to, and they do it again, and you say, I told you if you do that one more time. You know what they know? That you are not going to do anything. And then at the end of the night, mom might say, honey, did you give little Johnny that spanking you promised him? And you might say, oh, that was hours ago. But he disobeyed 6 times. Ah, maybe he won't do it again tomorrow. Anybody ever been there? And then we just neglect it? Listen, when you tell them the first time and they don't do it, take them to the room, get whatever you use, I use a paddle, and smack them. You know what I'm saying? Right on their backside. It ain't going to kill them. You know, when God designed that backside, he knew what it was for. It was for discipline. Amen? Okay, listen. And then when they start saying, oh, I can't believe you did that. Say, I can't believe you disobeyed Daddy that many times. Now, if you do it again, we're going to come back again. And pretty soon, you'll say, hey, son, put that down. And he'll say, nope. I want none of that. And then you'll be like, oh. And tomorrow it'll be a new thing. But then you know what happens? We do it again. And pretty soon they get it. The children are not dumb. Listen, we are just not raising them properly. We got to do it by God's design. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know what God's saying? Spank your children. It's okay. I'm sorry if you disagree with me. Again, you're okay to be wrong. I'm not wrong because I'm defending the Bible here. But it's okay. If you want to raise a bunch of hellions that are going to go out and be the next ones doing what's going on out there, then go ahead. But I don't want to raise children like that. I don't want our church families to raise children like that. I like it when children obey. I like it when they listen. And my grandparents loved it when I listened. And man, when I disobeyed, oh, it was awful. Awful. But guess what I didn't do? I honestly don't think I ever got the same spanking. You know, like, I don't think I got spanked for the same thing twice. When I got spanked the first time for it, listen, it was terrible. I remembered how badly that hurt. I remembered the consequence. I remembered the tears flowing down my grandmother's eyes as if she hurt herself. The only thing she possibly could have done was tore her rotator cuff. Okay? And she might be suffering with that today. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I remembered. You know, when you discipline your child, don't ever do it in anger, by the way. If you're mad, and by the way, here's a quick way to think if you're going to be angry or not. You're not going to be angry if you'll take them the first time they disobey you. See, anger is something that gets built up, right? If you tell him 3 and 4 times and all right, that's it! And now you're mad at him. You're freaking out. You know what I'm saying? He sees that anger come out of you and you rip him up and you carry him back there and you just, and now it's all out of anger and it was all for naught. The very first time you tell them, hey, don't do that, and they disobey, say, all right, come to Jesus. You know, come to Jesus. But Proverbs 23:13-14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt not beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Hey, did y'all hear what the Bible just said? Spank your children. Let them know that wrong is wrong. And there needs to be some correction. Now again, the Bible's not talking about child abuse. What it is talking about is reprimanding them when they do wrong. It's very clear that this generation is growing up and has gone undisciplined. Amen? It is awful from the home to the church, to the school, to the grocery store, to the amusement park, no matter where you are. Children simply do not obey. Would everybody agree with that? We see it everywhere. We've failed them. Therefore, just like the Bible says, they are bringing us to shame. But remember, this falls back on leadership. We've got to get back to God's way of a righteous family, and God's way is always the right way. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. You say, I love my children. Not according to God, if you don't discipline them. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know what that means? It's going to have to be more than once. Y'all all right? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. I love this. And when he is old, he will not depart. You know, this morning, and we're done, but this morning as the piano player comes, I want you to think about a couple of things. She's going to play a hymn of invitation. Well, I've kept you a little long today, but it's okay. We got baptism anyway. But I want you to, his head's bowed and eyes closed today, I want you to think about a couple of things. I wonder today if you would say, Brother Drew, I'm not sure, and this is between me, you, and God. The live stream's going to get turned off. No one's looking around. Listen, I wonder if you would say, Brother Drew, I'm talking to the men right now. I don't think I'm being the husband that God wants me to be. Listen, no one else looking around this morning, just me, you, and God. I just want to pray for you this morning. And I, would there be any husbands in here that would say, hey, I could do more in playing a biblical part in my family? Would there be any husband in here? Listen, hands everywhere. You know how you start that? You start by submitting and humbling yourself. Listen, this altar's open right now. It's open. No one's holding you back except you.